Hello, I'm Brooke Johnson. Welcome to my father's podcast. For this week's message, or any of the messages in our archive, subscribe for free on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Bethel Christian Fellowship is a church that relies on the support of its community. We consider you a part of that community, and we would love for you to participate in our financial life. You can do that at our website at drcraigjohnson.org. Whether you're new to this space or a regular pod listener, we're glad you're here. We believe that this message will bring you hope, encouragement, and guidance. God bless you.
This morning, I want to say Merry Christmas. First, and then in our Christmas message today, we're going to focus on Mary. All week, I have not been able to get Mary out of my mind. There's a lot going on at Christmas. Angels singing. The skies are rent. Wise men coming in. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I always wanted to write a country song called Gold, Frankincense, and Her. There's a lot happening in the narrative. But Mary reacts to the Advent message unlike anyone else. It's just staggering. Last week, the text that we read in the Gospel of Luke, Mary and Joseph have the baby Jesus in the temple. And did you know very few people knew what was going on? You know, that's true in every age. There's a remnant people. In the story, only Elizabeth and Zechariah, John the Baptist's parents, know what's happening. Mary and Joseph know what's happening. There's an old woman named Anna in the temple who knows what's happening. And there's an old man named Simeon that knows what's happening. And a few marginalized shepherds whose testimony was worthless in a court of law. There's a handful of folk. It's called a remnant. And if you think it's going to change in any generation, you're sorely deceived. There's always a remnant. And yet in the midst of all of these individuals, and we could talk about all of them, I'm struck with Mary in the way she received the story. Do you remember the story? She's a little girl. She's about 14, 15 years old. She's going to be married. She's got Joseph on her mind. She's planning the ceremony. Her whole life is before her. And then something happens. 400 years of prophetic silence are broken. And Gabriel stands before her and says, "Hi, chosen one. Hi, favored one." And it says she wondered at what this salutation might mean. Isn't that lovely? King James. What? But it says, as she's told, oh, by the way, the 4,000-year-old promise of a woman conceiving the seed that will crush the head of the serpent and yet his heel will be wounded, you're the Alma, you're the virgin. It's you. Now, what's interesting about Mary in her response is that she pondered all these things in her heart. She took the message inside of herself. You know, when we hear the word ponder, what we're usually thinking about is this guy. This is Rodin statuary. Remember this? So the thinker, right? He's pondering, right? What is he doing? Well, when we think, we usually have a Greek idea of pondering, which is, I'm going to get up in my head and I'm going to figure this thing out. I'm managing this. Oh, I'm just going to go over and over and over and over and over until I get this thing done. Mary was a Hebrew girl. They didn't have a Greek idea. The idea of pondering was to carry something. To carry something. To receive something that you then ponder over. And eventually something that you transform into something else. You don't give back what you got. You take something and you give back something different. She was a ponderer. Do you know there's a word that appears all through the New Testament with regard to Jesus' signs and wonders, and we all want to see signs and wonders, and it's the word amazement. The word amazement is not a good word. It means amusement. You know, he did signs and they were amazed. And we go, yeah, God, do things that are going to amaze us. Well, you remember in sixth grade science, remember the electrical current example? You know, you hook it up to the battery and then the power goes through the battery and what happens? Usually the light goes on, right? But what happens in that model of an electrical current, that's what amazement is. I've been in a crowd, and it's amazing energy. There's nothing wrong with it. And you take it in, and whoa, and it goes out of you, and nothing happens. Ever been to an apex of a concert, even a Christian event, and there's energy and amazement, but it goes right through you and out and doesn't transform anything. Amazement is a temporary relief from pain. It's like taking a drug to alter your mood. Nothing is transformed, right? Now, there's nothing wrong with going to amazing worship events and everything else, but Jesus was very suspicious of amazement. Every time he did a trick, the crowd was amazed, and he would always say, "Don't be amazed. Stop it." He was deeply suspicious. Crowds were just another title for crazy. He never trusted crowds, and they were always amazed. Now, amazement is a temporary relief from pain that doesn't transform anything. Pondering, that's different. Mary responds differently from anyone. Theologian Ronald Rheinhauser has a book called Sacred Fire, and in his book, he points out that amazement is a temporary relief from pain. It's a distraction from pain, but it doesn't transform. It's like the electrical current. Everything goes in and out. Energy sort of mindlessly moves in, through, and out. All right? You ever thought of an event like that? Look at these soccer games. When I was in Nigeria, these people, well, yeah, there's 100,000 people at church, but there's 400,000 at the soccer field, and they're going crazy over soccer. And I'm in the Sheraton Hotel in Lagos, Nigeria, and I just sort of, I was foolish and white and large. And I meandered in front of the soccer screen that everybody in the lobby was watching, completely a work of the devil, evidently. Because they're throwing things and screaming, and I'm starting thinking, oh my God, a terrorist event, you know. And it was me. I was blocking the soccer screen. And man, when I found out, I mean, you know, it's hard to hide anyway. But I moved real quick, like, yeah, I knew that. Sorry about that. But, you know, there was an amazing energy. And you've seen them. You've seen the soccer game. There's nothing wrong with events. But amazement comes in and out and doesn't transform anything. Can you think of all the legitimate needs you have that you meet in illegitimate ways? Huh? Remember? Temporary relief from pain? Whatever it is. You eat food. There's a temporary, but it doesn't transform anything, right? Pondering is a different thing. Let's take a look at Mary, can we? Because Gabriel comes to her and says, you're going to birth the God-man. You're holding in your womb simultaneously the pain of the world and the answer, the Son of God. And she ponders. She holds and carries and transforms that information. She's different. Then remember later in her life, not only when Gabriel appears to her, but remember when Jesus is 12 years old and he's in the temple and he's saying things that are amazing. The doctors of the law and the theologians, they're amazed, right? Are they changed? Nope. Are they transformed? Nope. Do miracles ever change or transform anything? Zip, never. And that's all we pray to see. Miracles have never done anything except make a crowd go, ooh, do another one. See, amazement is a temporary relief from pain, and you got to keep consuming and do it again and do it again and eat some more cake. I'm not projecting anything here, so quit looking at me in that tone of voice right now. I've got three of you marked up for special prayer later. Amazement isn't good. Now, when the sky is split and the angels sing over the shepherds, it says the shepherds go and told everyone the message they'd heard, and everyone that heard was amazed. Transformed? Oh, no. There was same group was going to crucify him. Same crowd that said, make him king, within a week said, kill him. Why? Because amazement is amusement. Amazement is a temporary thing that will relieve the pain, but it never transforms it, never redeems it. But there's something different between amazement and pondering. To ponder means to hold and to carry and transform tension so as not to give it back in kind. Listen, to hold, to carry, and to transform tension so as not to give it back in kind. Pondering isn't thinking it through, settling the problem, 2 + 2 = 4. It's getting in where you carry it, you hold it, and there's some kind of transformation that goes on through your pain, and out comes something totally different. Use the analogy. Amazement is an electrical current, right? Get that picture of the little cord going from the battery up to the little nose. Remember, what was that little game, Operation, right? You try to grab the wishbone, if you touch the side, right? But to ponder, a word picture would be not an electrical current, but a filter. You have a Brita at home? You have a water filter? Have any water filters in here? What does a water filter do? Water filter takes in, but gives out something else. It takes stuff in, but all the impurities and all the negativity and all the bad stuff is somehow transformed. It's taken in, it's transformed, and something sweet comes out, right? And then you can look at the filter and see all the gunk. You pull your filter out of your swimming pool, right? Oh, you didn't know all that was in there. God did. But do you see Mary? She's different in her response to the message. She ponders it. She takes it in. She carries it. And just like a filter, what came in doesn't come out the same way. You know what? I'm looking at you. I want you to listen to a poem. I'll set it up a little bit for you. Imagine during the season you're in a crowded space. Maybe you're at the mall, maybe you're at the post office, wherever it is. And you see one woman. And for some reason, everybody that passes by this woman, their burden is lighter. Their countenance shifts. You know, there's some people in this world, their windows to eternity. It's nothing you can put your finger on. But just something about them. They're a lighthouse. And ships just have a way of finding their way. Imagine a little woman like that. Everybody goes by. Everybody's different. Something's transacted. We'll let the poem say the rest. I watched her in the loud and shadowy lanes of life. And every face that passed her by grew calmly restful, smiling quietly as though she gave all their griefs and pains largesse and comfort. Soft as summer rains, balsam tinctured with tranquility, yet in her own eyes dwelt an agony. O halcyon soul, I cried, what sorrow reigns in that calm heart which knows such ways to heal? And she said, where balms are made for human uses, great furnace fires and wheel on grinding wheel crush and purify the crude herb juices. And in some hearts, the conflict cannot cease. They are the sick world's factories of peace. Oh my. That woman was taking in everybody's pain. Not codependently. Biblically, was carrying it, was holding it, and was transforming it into something completely different. After it went through her filter, out came hope, out came wonder, out came peace, but there's a price attached to this season. Did the Son of God come on a white steed like Alexander the Great? Oh, no. No, no, no. That's the second coming. You got your theology mixed up. He came a little baby thing that made a woman cry so that he could take all of our pain, all of our sin, all of our anguish. He entered into everything you could ever conceive of hurting you and harming you, and he took it in and he carried it on the cross and he transformed it as the factory of peace for the entire world. And that's what you're called to do and tagged with the mission if you belong to him. What is it about Mary? She was a filter. She simultaneously bore the pain. Remember last week, Simeon said, "This child is set for the rising and falling of many in Israel. Yea, and a sword shall pierce your spirit also." She's got pain, but she's got the answer, the Son of God, in her womb, those two realities, pain and hope. There's an old saying that life's a comedy to those that think and a tragedy to those that feel. Think about that. We're not called to think it through. You've got a pea brain of a head in the entire universe. You can't comprehend, let alone apprehend anything, but you can welcome his presence in. You can become a man, woman, boy, or girl who is God's unique factory of peace in the family, in the marriage, in the culture. What is it about these people? Yeah, they get in their head and talk a lot, but they wind up carrying it, taking it in, filtering it, and putting out something that's different than what they took in. Someone say amen. How come somebody can hear the same facts about a person, and by the time they've carried it and they've transformed it, love comes out instead? Hope. Well, they're just Pollyanna No, they're a factory of peace. That's all we're called to be, right? We're not human doings, we're human beings. And those of us that belong to Jesus are serving the man, the God-man who was the factory of peace, par excellence. And so they expected a white steed, and he said, "Oh, no, no, I'm going to be bruised, crushed." Listen to this. I was reading the Gospel of Luke this morning in my pondering. And I was in Luke chapter 9, and it's verses 43 and 44. And it says, "And they were all amazed, everyone marveling at all that he did." They're amazed. Whoa! Pull another rabbit out of the hat, Jesus. Remember, Herod wanted to see him that he might do some miracle? Remember, I told you all miracles are not created equal. God could grow hair on a billiard ball. Look at the billiard ball. Now there's hair. Okay, but that's not quite the same as raising Jairus' daughter from the dead. That's a little more existentially relevant, isn't it? When God does miracles, they're not parlor tricks. But that's for 3.5 years, that's all anybody wanted was a trick. And the Lord Jesus, it says everything he said and did, they were amazed at. In verse 44 of Luke 9, it says he took the disciples aside while everybody's amazed. The electrical currents, energy coming in and out, no transformation. No one believes in him. Nobody gets the message. And he says to the disciples, P.S., in the midst of this amazement, the Son of Man is going to be given over to the heathen to be beaten and killed. And it says they wist not what he was saying. But they durst not ask him. They didn't get it. They want more tricks because that brings amazement, which is / amusement, which is a temporary relief without transformation. How many times do we pray, even our prayers are for a temporary relief without transformation? In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, here's my list. Oh, worship first. Hallelujah. Okay, present your petition. Here are the 450,000 things that I want you to give me now. Conclude with thanks. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, rabbit's foot prayers. Why don't we just sell them and make a ton of money on them? A prayer wand. You can just hold it and it'll do those things for you. An intercessory prayer wand. Worship, petitions, lots of thanks. Thank him as much as you asked. Oh, it took me 30 seconds to ask. I'm going to give 90 seconds of praise. Crazy praise to him. It's not insane. He's a person. He just wants to play with you. He just wants to be with you. He's just like, can we talk? You know, do we need to make it a trick? What are you doing? Oh, something religious. I don't know. We're averting our eyes, oh Lord. Why do you do that? Christ doesn't come as a victor. He comes as what we would perceive as a victim, but he's a factory of peace. You see, it's not about what it's about. All your years of hiddenness, all your years of personal pain could be a crushing that has nothing to do with you. A preacher told me recently, he said, "Craig, God's seen stuff in you that he had to bring crushing to, not even for you. It had nothing to do with you. It has to do with some people you've met that you need to be able to empathize with." We take it so personally. Every setback. Mary had a mindset. We're going to follow Mary this season. Ponder it. Be a filter. Take it in. Don't be in despair. God can enter in with his presence to any situation and bring beauty from ashes. That's what the whole story is about. And Jesus loves to do a few tricks. The crowd goes nuts, and then he offends the crowd and tells the disciples, here's the fun part. I'm going to be beaten, whipped, and given over to the Gentiles, and I'm going to die. And on the third day, I'm going to rise again. And they go, you can't say that. Stop saying that. The offerings have gone down since you started all that crushing factory of peace garbage. We're imperialistic here. We're victorious based. Well, not if you want to deal with the real world and deal with real people. You know, shepherds smell like sheep. I told a guy this week, I said, sweetheart, shepherds smell like sheep. He said, what does that mean? I said, well, if a shepherd doesn't smell a sheep, he's not a shepherd. Whatever he says he is, he's not a shepherd. Because, see, shepherds are around sheep and they smell all the time. And by the way, they were marginalized. If you couldn't get another job, you got the shepherding job. They used to say, curse like a sailor, lie like a shepherd. So the angels first appear to the most marginalized nobodies on the planet and say, good news. Go tell everybody, even though they won't believe a thing that you say. No one wanted to hang out with the shepherds but God. I love to hang around shepherd types. Watch out now. Are they saved? Oh. We most recently had a precious young man in our midst, in our extended family, who accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Didn't see a gospel track, didn't watch TBN, didn't read a book, nobody, and the guy's radiantly born again and transformed. It was the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, God really is capable of lured, of drawing, convicting, and winning. Jesus is the Lord. You know, he really is in charge. Thank God you're not in charge. Working it. Let's work it. Give them the gospel. And I told the good news to a friend of mine and said, well, did they pray the sinner's prayer? Is there people you just talk to and rain on your parade? Doesn't matter what you say. They're not a factory of peace, whatever they are. Safe people are factories of peace. Safe people take in, they carry, and they transform. And there's something amazing. The ponderers produce hope. I mean, even when you call with a hopeless situation. I heard a preacher recently say that he had gone on vacation with his family. He came back to his office, and on his desk were five requests. Someone had died in the family. Someone was just diagnosed with the fourth stage of cancer. He was going to die in 2 months. And he said, everything on the requests. The only problem was I couldn't do anything about any of it. Have you ever had people think you know things? People think I know everything. Someone last week said, why'd that guy do that? I said, how would I know why anyone does anything? What are you asking me? Am I psychic? You know, someone did a crazy thing and they asked me why he did it. And I said, gosh, I got to get the booth like Lucy had, 5 cents for psychiatric advice, at least make some money on it. Get the money, cash the check, then say, I have no idea. Next. You see? There's just something. You don't understand why anybody does anything. God understands why everybody does everything. But I do know this. There are some folks that no matter how evil the report is, I don't know what it is, by the time you're done talking to them, there's hope. The presence comes in. You know what? When the little boy has a nightmare, daddy coming in, just daddy coming in and turning on the light and sitting on the bed, the presence alone makes it okay. Do you remember that? My dad used to do that. My dad used to wear Old Spice cologne. And when I was afraid and I'd shout out a bad dream, my daddy would come in and he's put his hand on my forehead and he'd start rubbing my head and I'd smell that Old Spice on his hand. And that's my daddy. His presence made everything all right. Now, it didn't change everything. And when Christ initially comes, you know, Simeon sees a little baby, 40 days old. God said, Simeon, your eyes will not close before you see the Lord's Christ. Do you think Simeon was expecting to see a 40-day-old baby as the answer to all things? Good news, Simeon. Here he is. You'd think a grown-up will come in. Very attractive, very well-dressed,
with wonderful speaking skills. Can I get an amen?
You know, none of it. Simeon is baffled. It's a baby, a baby. And the word about the baby is, oh, he's good news. He's born to die. Oh, boy. I'm not a Grinch. I love Christmas. I am pepping you up by telling you what you are, Factory of Peace. Factories of Peace. This is a descriptive label for the Bethel people. I've called you safe people. I've called you so many, so many things in public. I've called you. All good. But this one is a label, Factories of Peace. I can't wait to meet Mary. I told my Catholic friend, I said, I always do what Mary says. John 2:11, she said, here is my son, obey him. I always obey Mary. But I respect her. She's the only human being on the planet that could host the Son of God in the fulfillment of every promise. What an amazing, but she took it in. She carried it. She transformed it, and she produces the King of Hope. And it's funny. Those are the people you trust. Those are the people you want to pray for you. Those are the people that you want in your life. Those are the people that you want. Factories of Peace. So if that's what our Lord is, and that's what this whole season, the Factory of Peace was born. Now, that wouldn't make any sense to anybody. This next outpouring of the Spirit of God is going to be amazing, but it's not going to be about amazement. Do another trick, Jesus. You know, I know people that pray for people and their legs lengthen. And gold dust appears and all this stuff. Isn't that lovely? Doesn't always transform, though, does it? It's a show. Give an offering, and you'll give your 10 grand there at the amazement service, not here. Because that's what we do. We're human. We want the electrical current. We want to feel good for a moment. Woo! What happened? What changed? Where are these people 3 nights from now that are filling a stadium? Where are they? Who are they? Are they factories of peace? Is anything being transformed in them and through them? I'm looking at people that I know. What you take in doesn't come out the same way because you're ponderers. This move of God is going to be amazing because it's just going to be factories of peace, you know? Silent power. Remember, I've talked about silent power. Silently, the snow falls and bends down the strongest tree. That's power. Silently, the rain falls down and nourishes the earth. Silently, the seed presses its way up to the surface. Some of the most powerful things in the world are silent, are quiet, are just sweet, quiet factories of peace, like that little woman standing at the mall. But notice, she lightened everyone's burden, but in her eyes, there was an agony and an understanding of what it costs to be a factory of peace. Mm-mm-mm. Notice in the poem, it says some people's burden doesn't lift. Some rabbit doesn't come out of the hat for you. You know what? Is God enough? Is he just enough? Can we just like die and go to heaven and be with him forever? Is that okay? Or do we have to have Western Christianity's perspective of success? Is the Lord with you? I think not. Is that a Rolex on your wrist? It's a fake one. Oops. You didn't push the right button. You didn't pull the right lever. Loved one, that's not what the gospel's about. That's what Western Christianity frames the gospel as. In the East, it's factories of peace. And what do we do in our culture? And we'll close with this. What do we do with such despair, such confusion, so many events, terrorism? What is going on? Be like Mary and like every factory of peace in the history of Scripture. Stand there, take it in, carry it, transform it like a filter, and put out hope, and put out wonder, and put out surprise. And I'm telling you, loved one, you'll nourish souls. God's Spirit will do the miracles that need to be done. But you just keep being a factory of peace. That's a good thing at Christmas. Now, when you give your presents and thank God for that, but say, I'm a factory of peace. You're a factory of peace. Oh, is what I'm doing now fulfilling the role of a factory of peace? Or am I just amazed and transforming chaos? I get chaos in, chaos comes out of me. Gossip comes in, gossip comes right out of me. No. We got to take whatever we get and make it something different. Amen. And you know who's playing with amazement, and you know who's pondering. Let's follow Mary's example. Isn't it something? Imagine her. Oh, I'm going to have a baby. Oh, let me tell Joseph. Oops. You ever had people that can't enter into your joy with you? For whatever reason? Joseph, I'm pregnant. His countenance fell. He already took an angel to appear to him to correct him. What an amazing woman. Father, we are deeply suspicious of amazement as well, and of amusement, and of temporary relief from trouble that doesn't transform. Forgive us for being so addicted to Christian amazement and Christian amusement and Christian Disneylands, where we go to see another rabbit pulled out of the hat by the next newest and truest and best and blessed. Forgive us, Lord, for our shallow view. We want to join with you, Lord, when everybody's amazed at tricks, you turn to us and say, but here's the good news. I'm going to be beaten, bruised, crushed, killed, and then I'm rising from the dead. I'm going to transform all that in my womb into eternal life for everyone who asks. Oh, loved one, people representing Jesus may have offended you and turned you away from him, but don't you ever turn from him. He loves you. He's your factory of peace. He did it for you. And the Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for you. What a prayer partner. On his knees at the right hand of the Father, processing whatever's going on to you right now and transforming it into hope, blessing. All things work together for the good of those that love God. All things, all horrible things, all ghastly things, all unconscionable things, all good things, they all work together because you have the factory of peace interceding at the right hand of the Father. His name is Jesus Christ the righteous, the Lamb, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It's good. He's got this. He's got this. Father, make us factories of peace in our families, in our marriages, in our community, in the body of Christ. Fall on your knees. We'll hear the angel. One more time, fall on your knees, sing at home as well. Christ was born. Oh, night divine. Oh, night divine. Thank you, Jesus, for being a factory of peace. Thank you, Lord God, for the privilege of serving you. We do say happy birthday. even though it's not your birthday on the 25th, but we say thank you. And again, we give our hearts, our lives, our families, our concerns, and we throw all our crowns as well before you, Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Give him praise right where you are. Can you give him some crazy praise? What a mighty God. Well, now you know why he came and who you are, so that should encourage your holiday. We love you.